Hello, this is Yarrow, and welcome to episode 19 of Vested Capital, featuring my guest, Will Schroeter. Vested Capital is a podcast about how people make money and put their capital to work. I interview startup founders, and Will, wow, he is certainly a startup founder. Many, many companies he's founded. I also interview angel investors, venture capitalists, crypto and stock traders, real estate investors, and leaders in technology. So, Will, with today's episode, I've known Will, at least from afar, digitally online, for many years, mostly though as the founder and CEO of startups.com. That is kind of like an umbrella brand. It's an education business for founders, but it also has a bunch of companies under it, some of which were started by Will and some of which were acquired and brought in under the startups.com brand. It's actually quite clever. Will explains this during today's interview, his overall kind of philosophy around startups.com. It's kind of basically providing an answer to every problem that a founder will have. So, under that brand, besides just the education and support services startups.com provides, there's BizPlan, there's Clarity, which is a service offering mentors. Oh, BizPlan is obviously biz planning. Fundable, which is crowdsourcing funding for your company. LaunchRock and Zirtual. Zirtual is a virtual assistant company, and it's actually one of the reasons why I feel like I know Will so well. I did a lot of deep dive research into when Zirtual was sold as a company. It was started by Mar and Kate. I knew her from the world of blogging. I had a few conversations with her. She'd been on my podcast, and she started this amazing company, Zirtual, which unfortunately had a bit of a negative experience with just some mismanagement of funding and cash flow in order to pay the staff. I won't go into that long story now, but the short version is after all that kind of ended, Will stepped in and bought out the company, and Zirtual now operates as a service under startups.com. And because I run Inbox Done, we have very similar services. So I'm constantly, you know, up against Zirtual among other competitors in the virtual assistant space. So I feel like I know Zirtual very well. But this episode really is all about Will and his history. And his history is not just about startups.com. In fact, he spends the first half of this episode talking about Blue Diesel, which was his very first company, started all the way back in 94. It was an agency, so basically building websites for companies, but not just like everyday businesses. He actually went out there and cold called some big companies, landing clients like Best Buy, Bank One, and MasterCard. I even asked him, how exactly do you get MasterCard as a client with your little web design agency all the way back in 94? I'll let Will answer that question. You'll hear him answer it in this interview. Amazingly enough, that agency grew $65 million in billings in a few years without any outside investors. He later merged it with kind of a traditional agency. Then they landed a client, which was basically a $250 million account. It was huge. The fact that their agency got that deal compared to some of the other bidders for it was massive. Obviously ramped the growth of their company up to an incredible level. And eventually their company was acquired by another company, which was then floated on the stock market. Again, Will explains those stories. The short answer is he did exit from all that. And he was certainly, he didn't talk specific numbers, but I got the impression that he was pretty much able to retire at that stage if he wanted to, but he didn't. He was only 27 years old. So he dived back into entrepreneurship, kind of started a bit of a like an incubator way, way before incubators and accelerators for startup companies were common in the sort of mid-2000s. So that was, and to me, this is really, really the fun part to listen to. Will talks about all these companies that he was attempting to run with himself as the CEO and founder, raising funding for multiple companies, trying to grow multiple companies. He was doing 16-hour days. It was crazy, all the way to the point where he gave himself a massive panic attack, ended up in hospital. And that was like a big reset button for him. He was about to have his first child as well. And he basically decided, I got to take 2 months off. I got to reconstruct how I am an entrepreneur, how I am a founder. He started to sell off some of his companies. And that was where the genesis for startups.com came into the story, which still is an opportunity for Will to explore multiple companies and kind of enjoy running an enterprise along multiple verticals, but within a much more homogenous kind of strategy. You know, it is all about helping founders just with different verticals within that space. So it's kind of easier to manage that way. And I actually asked him because I was curious. It sounds like you're still running multiple companies, but now you're not having panic attacks. So what is the difference? And Will describes, you know, how his current philosophy and the framework for running startups.com and all the services and brands under that. And that's an important thing to listen to because it's actually quite smart the way he says you can apply a specialist skill set or like a certain staff member across these multiple brands. For example, someone who does pay-per-click marketing can do it for all the companies under the one brand. So they can be checking the ad campaigns each day and just managing that, as opposed to, say, Will, for example, trying to do pay-per-click and then wear all the other hats at the same time. So it's a nice framework for specialization, even if you are running multiple companies, sort of running multiple companies in the structure Will has with startups.com. I also asked Will to explain a little bit about his marketing strategy, which was actually really interesting to hear about, because he has grown so many different companies in so many different industries, you know, things from lease swapping. I'm not sure how much he was involved with that. There was unsubscribe.com, which was a company about dealing with junk mail. Then he was dealing with like running television production, so many different things. And of course, he had to grow all of them and use his marketing skills. So I asked Will, what is his go-to strategy for getting marketing, getting attention, growing an audience, getting customers for a startup today? Well worth listening into that in this interview for that alone. And I also, right at the very end, ask him what is his investment strategy since he's been quite wealthy from a very young age. So he gives an answer you probably will expect from that one. Okay, really excited to give this interview to you with Will Schroeder, the founder and CEO of startups.com. Before I press play on the interview, just a reminder, I've already dropped the name. I am the co-founder of InboxDone.com. We are a virtual assistant company specializing in managing your email and also doing your calendar and admin tasks. But what we train and hire for is people who have superior communication, and they're going to take over everything that's going on in your inbox or your inboxes for you personally, for your company, could be for other members of your team, your staff. You might already have an executive assistant or a personal assistant. We can work in tandem with them, freeing up time in their life so they can do more for you as well. So we can work with them, with you, with both of you together in tandem. And basically, we give you two people, two inbox managers who become part of your team, reply to, manage your email, organize your calendar, protect your time, guard you against time-wasting meetings, making sure everything you need to know is in that calendar, making sure the most important emails you need to know about are presented to you. But everything else that's not critical is handled without you. We do the replying, we do the organization, we do the inputting of information in task management software, working with the rest of your team, so we can keep you out of the loop. That is our goal. Free you up, simplify your life, and make it that you have more hours in your day. Just like a recent client of ours, Linda Artisani of Artisani Accounting, she had this great way of describing what Inbox Done has done for her. She said, "You have rescued my mornings." That means she's got her mornings back. She's no longer spending those few hours in the morning dealing with email and her calendar and so forth. Now she's actually using that time to create a course because we're the ones dealing with her email and managing her calendar and so on instead. So if that appeals to you, head to inboxdone.com, book a discovery call, and tell us all about what you need help with, and we'll assign you a couple of great people, some specialists, well-trained. We have a very unique hiring system that really, this is what's our special sauce. We've been doing it for 4 years now. It's like a 10-step process, and I think that's what makes the difference. So would love to tell you more about that as well. But that's enough about inboxdone.com. You're here for the interview with Will, so let's dive into that right now. All right, Will. Hi. Thank you for joining me today.
Hey.
So I feel like I kind of know you a little bit, Will, more than I probably do because I listen to you on a lot of podcasts and you know, you show up here and there over many years now. I was actually diving a little bit more into your bio and yeah, you've been doing this longer than I have and there's not too many people I can find who I can say that. So that's pretty awesome.
Minute, yeah.
Obviously, startups.com is sort of the catch-all company that I think I first probably heard about you. Yeah. It may have been, I'm not even sure. I know I did a deep dive into the story of Zirtual at one stage, maybe about a year ago.
Yeah.
That was purely almost like competitor intelligence. I run an email management company.
Yeah.
Not exactly the same as Zirtual, but obviously another virtual assistant sort of thing.
You bet.
Yeah. I knew Maren because she was in the blogging space before and I had her on my podcast and spoke to her a few times. just for those listening in, obviously, there's a whole story around Zirtual.
Huge story. Yeah. Great story, actually.
It imploded, and then you stepped in later on and took it over. I'm actually kind of curious what it's like now, today, and how it's all going and everything within startups. But maybe you can give us the best summary of what you're most well-known for and what you're currently working on.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was talking to my wife last night when we were headed in bed, and I'd been on one of our founder group talks at startups.com where we get a group of founders together and kind of share how we're all doing. And somebody's asked me how long I've been doing this for, and I said, oh, about 30 years. And I stopped, and I was like, damn, like that's a long time.
It's your entire
life. My entire life. And on top of that, it's kind of the only job I've ever had. You know, I started my first company when I was 19, which means, I mean, prior to that, I had like, you know, I was getting paid per hour for some dumb job, but for like a year and a half, it's not like I really had any other job.
You don't look old.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that one, but it got me thinking. I was like, damn, like it's been a long time. It's been a long run. And so the backstory is this. You know, I started my first company when I was 19. We grew that company very quickly. It was the dawn of the internet. It was one of the first web design companies, literally building some of the first web pages on the internet. And that grew to about a $650 million company. We sold that in 2001. I then built kind of an incubator for all my own stuff where I was building all these different companies. And I'm sure you and I ran into contact with each other back in the day then. Spun out 8 companies. Last 3 were venture funded companies. Some did okay. Some didn't do okay. Terrible idea if you ever want to go do it yourself, and happy to get into why. But about, I don't know, 18 years into all this, I kind of stopped what I was doing. And I said, honestly, I just want to work on one thing, and I want it to be the thing that I do for the rest of my life. I don't want to make this the means to something else. I just want this to be the end. And that was the genesis of startups.com. I just want to be able to sit around and talk to founders all day like you and just talk shop all day. And so now that's what I get to do. I get to sit around with founders all day long and talk shop. And that was the genesis of how startups.com became a company.
Yeah. And startups.com is, it's like one part education. I mean, I remember every time I go there, I feel like, okay, I know it's primarily an education company, but then you brought in, I mentioned Zirtual. Zirtual's under that brand now, which is Virtual Assistant Services, LaunchRock, Fundable, Clarity. I think Clarity might have actually been my gateway to first ever coming across startups.com, strangely enough, BizPlan. And I feel like I want to talk to you about how you even put all this together and how it all works together. But every time I hear you talk, Will, I feel like even if you go back to that very first story I was reading, it was Blue Diesel, right? Now, that was an agency, very early days, 1994. I'm reading your LinkedIn in case you're wondering. So 1994 to December 2002, 8 years, started when you were 19 years old. And you just threw out this number, $65 million, and you say, we grew it. I kind of love to like even maybe we can start there and we can move forward through how all these things happen. An agency in 94 obviously would have been new. Like it's kind of funny now. It's like the most basic and almost boring business model out there a company online. But back then, people needed websites, if they even knew what a website was, to be honest.
No one heard of the internet yet.
Right. So can you maybe take us through the highlights of that $65 million journey? And were you the owner, like when you say $65 million, did you sell it and pocket $65 million at the end of all that? Like, how did that play out?
Yeah, I'll explain that. So what ends up happening is I'm in college in Ohio. I grew up in Connecticut, but I came to Ohio to go to school at the Ohio State University. And I'm in college for maybe a year and a half, and I hate it. I love learning, but I can't stand sitting in a desk and listening to somebody drone on. I can't even listen to myself drone on. And so I had been online since 1984. Now, that's going to sound odd because that's like people like,
you in the Army?
Serve AOL? No. I was on a Commodore 64 computer with a 300 baud modem plugged into the back of my thing, tying up my parents' line with a bulletin board system so long before any of this stuff was stuff. And there's plenty of people that are ancient relics like me that can appreciate that entire era. And it was awesome.
Will, what was the name of the bulletin board? I've read a few books about the early sort of bulletin boards. What was it called?
Well, so here's the thing. Back then, it was kind of like your personal web page, and every one of them ran on your computer, right? Wow. So it would be like if everybody had a web page sitting on their hard drive, and you were calling their computer, like on your phone, to access that one page, right? So back then, it was very sequential. I called your computer, and you called my computer. That was it. It was like two fax machines. But all the fundamental things that became the internet like message boards and uploading and downloading, et cetera, chat, were all happening back then. So I had learned to code, not well, I'm not that bright, early on in my career, just well enough that when the internet came around, really the web in 94 with the advent of the browser, I had just been doing it forever. And so I had this idea, now that the internet was about to become a thing, that I was going to build a company that built these web pages. And it sounds so dumb right now, but back then, there was like me and 10 other dudes doing it at all.
Wow.
Like that was it. And I remember going to my guidance counselor, and I'm so fired up. And I'm like, I can't wait to drop out of school and start this company. And she's like, wait, what? In her mind, like dropping out of school was like the most horrible thing that could happen. And I was like, no, I'm going to go start an internet company. I'll never forget her response. She looked at me deadpan and she's like, what's the internet? And, you know, there was a time. Right? There was a time that no one knew.
I remember. Yeah.
And I was running around at all these companies trying to explain to them what the internet was. I wasn't trying to explain to them why we should build their website because there's no one else explaining it to them. But I was going to all these major companies, explaining to them fundamentally what the internet was and asking them to use Blue Diesel to build what was fundamentally their first websites. And so early on, you know, we landed big clients like MasterCard, like BMW Financial, some pretty big name clients. And we were making no money doing it because I knew nothing about business and I was screwing everything up.
How do you land a MasterCard? I can't imagine doing that at 19 years old.
I cold called them on the phone and I said, can you connect me to the person that uses the word internet? And I remember I got connected to the one person in all of MasterCard that knew what the word internet was, and that was our client.
Wow. I mean,
it was,
Wild West.
A different cowboy era, right?
Yeah. Okay.
And so a few years into it, we end up working with this small agency in Columbus, Ohio, a traditional agency that had been around for 20 plus years. And we had this idea, what if we merged the agency? They had about 50 people. We had about a dozen people. And we could do both print, offline, and digital, which kind of makes sense now. But like back then, it was unheard of, right? That an agency could do both. And for the most part, no one had digital capabilities. Mm-hmm. So we did. 3 months later, in one of the biggest flukes in agency history, we end up pitching a company out of Indianapolis called Eli Lilly, who at the time was bringing a drug to market called Prozac. And we won one of the most lopsided wins in agency history. A team of 50 people won a $250 million per year account. And that launched us into what became about a $650 million agency.
Wow. Now it's ringing a bell. I remember doing my research on you about a year ago. Maybe it was Andrew Warner, I don't know, on Mixer or something.
Yeah,
I
love Andrew.
I remember hearing the story going, I can't imagine, obviously, the elation of landing a $250 million client. But then agency businesses' fulfillment on a $20,000 client can be a nightmare. So I can't even imagine. Did you suddenly have to hire hundreds of people just to deliver on that?
Unbelievable. We hired a person every single day.
Wow.
First year, we hired 250 people. And this is long before job boards. This is long before like all the ways that we think about scaling a business now. There's no such thing as outside capital for services business, even to this day for the most part, certainly back then. So it was old school. You just had to be able to bill hours and send invoices and hope you collect. But we made it work. I was 22. My partner at the time was 26. And we just figured it out. And it worked out great. And so we sold the business in 2001.
So at the point where you got that big client and then leading all the way to the sale, were you more of a CEO directing how things worked? Or were you still, because I can imagine when you started, you were probably the guy actually building the websites and then you graduated up, right?
You know, it's interesting you say that. That actually set like a set of things in motion in my career. When I was at the agency, I was doing technology, marketing, and design. So I was coding web pages back when code was like 40 commands in HTML. I was doing design in Photoshop 1.0. And I was also doing the marketing because I really loved the marketing side, in addition to sales and everything else. And I loved every aspect of it, right? It wasn't like I was, you know, more interested in technology than I was in design, et cetera. I loved every aspect of it. To this day, I don't code anymore because code's so specialized. I get involved in every single aspect of our company. I'm our CFO. I'm our lead copywriter. We have 200 people, right? So, you know, it's not like I've got to wear all these hats. I love it. I love every aspect of it. And I'm all in. But at the time, I was running essentially the digital part of the company as CEO. And my partner, Blaine, who I would argue did all the real work, was the CEO of the traditional side.
Okay. So I feel like I'm asking questions I know the answer to because I've heard it, but the listeners won't have. With the sale of Blue Diesel, I remember, if I'm correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, you were like part owner of the next company it got sold into, and then that company got bought by another company, if I'm correct me if I'm wrong. Is that how that story played out?
It's so far beyond me. It just, so you get a sense for, we got bought in 2001. My partner stayed on board. I left to go start other companies. My partner stayed on board, took the company public, then got bought back by Blackstone. I don't know, maybe got spun out again. Somehow it's got like 16,000 people that work there right now. I think it's like a $7 or $8 billion company. Wow. I have nothing to do with it, right? I haven't stepped foot in the building in 20 years. So I have nothing to do with where it is today. But it was a crazy road.
Is it called Blue Diesel still?
No, God, no. Okay. Nothing to do with it.
Okay. So what point did you actually exit? Like, did when it got bought out, did you just take your shares, get liquidated?
I was so ready to start other stuff. I couldn't wait to go do something else. I didn't hate the business per se. I couldn't stand working for clients. Not my bag. It was not how I wanted to operate. I wanted to build product-led companies, and I wanted to be my own boss, so to speak. Okay. And so that's where I focused.
So can we timestamp that? How old were you when that happened?
2001. So that would have made me probably 26, 27.
Okay. And that exit, was that retirement money for you or more enough for the next few years? Or where was your
some
head?
Some of it's public and some of it's not. Some of them I'm not allowed to talk about.
Okay.
But publicly, we sold for $350 million in cash.
Okay. So I'm guessing at 26, you're not thinking, well, I'm going to retire on the beach no matter how much you made. You're like, I'm hungry to do more.
Oh, I mean, I'm 27, right?
Yeah. So, super hungry to do more. But the difference now is you're not starting from scratch. You've had this experience. You've got a name having exited a company, which means investors would be more interested in you. You probably could put in your own capital if you wanted to. So how did you make the next decision besides knowing you want to be a product-led company rather than a client-based company?
You know, it's so interesting because that was 20 years ago. And again, we forget about things, right? Mm. For example, back then, I essentially wanted to take the agency model of having all of these resources like technology, marketing, design, et cetera, and keeping them under one roof. But instead of working for clients, I wanted to work for myself. I wanted to be my own client. I had a million ideas for companies. And I just wanted to basically have a whole portfolio of companies. And now you see that all the time with like accelerators and things like that, or you know, incubators, what have you. Mm-hmm. But this was way before any of that, before it had a name. The closest you had back then, and the only analog I could point to, was Bill Gross at Idealab, which was so far ahead of his time. And what he's done, his career has just been unbelievable, like what he was able to achieve. But that, I kind of wanted to do that. I just wanted to work on a lot of different things. And again, I mentioned this earlier, it's a terrible idea. It sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah. It's a terrible idea.
So is this when, again, I'm going off your LinkedIn here. I know unsubscribing came in a little later. Was that one of those companies that got spun out or was that
it
started
was
later? Okay.
And so I had a number of ideas, right? One of them wasn't my idea. It's just something that I actually happened to get involved with and it kind of picked it up as, call it our first client. And it was a company called swapalease.com. And it just allows you to transfer in and out of car leases. It was incredibly successful. But that was kind of a light bulb moment because within a year and a half of getting involved there, I was doing hardly any revenue when I started, we were doing about $3 million of revenue on about $1 million of net income, which back in 2001, for like a, you know, was essentially like a marketplace play, there weren't many, right? You know, eBay was just starting to become a thing. Craigslist was just starting to become a thing. It was very new. And my light bulb moment was, well, hell, if I can do that with one, what about doing it with 10? Right? And building a portfolio of all these things. And I thought about it like property, like investing in property and having all these properties. What I didn't account for was that, kind of like having a kid, when you have one, you can kind of handle it, right? Because all your problems are concentrated in that one thing. When you have two, okay, maybe one has a good day, one has a bad day. Once you have three, four, five, six, there is never a day where you don't have problems. Right? Like all you have are problems, right? We'd love to believe that these things are just throwing money at us the entire time. Not the way it works. While one company's getting funded, the next one's getting shut down, probably within the same hour, right? It was so many cooks in the kitchen. I was running five or six full-time companies at that point.
Wow.
Where I was active, like very active, down to running payroll, right, across all these companies. And it drained the life out of me. Mm-hmm. It was a great experience, because I'll say this. What I got to do was I got to live 5 or 6 startup lives in parallel. Mm. Now, here's where that messes with you, like your head a little bit. Imagine you and I are starting a company and we're out trying to raise capital and no one wants to give us money. Well, at the time, that's the only experience of our careers that we're having. It's just the outcome of that one thing. Well, imagine if we were doing 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in the same day that we're going in to pitch investors and they're just stomping their foot in the door on our way out. We're getting other texts on the way out from other investors saying they can't invest in our other company fast enough. Mm. Right? It messes with your head because, like, well, am I good at this or am I terrible at this? Because, like, mm-hmm. it's the same day and I'm having two different outcomes. But what was cool about that, and this kind of led to startups.com, I started to get so much experience about how to do so many things so differently and so many different outcomes and how your life could go that all my friends, founders mostly, started coming to me. And they started to say, hey, what about this? What about this? Have you gone through this? And I was like, I'm going through so many things that I actually have. And so I started really helping a lot of folks out. I remember Andrew Warner and I sat down before he was starting Mixergy, when we were sitting down in Santa Monica together, and he was pitching me on the idea of Mixergy. And I just had a million ideas, right? And I loved it. I thought, if I could sit around and talk to guys like yourself or Andrew all day long about startups, that would be my dream job. And that's kind of where things started to develop towards startups.com.
So I'm kind of curious then, you were similar as me. I was like a member as a young guy going, I wish I could kind of be owner of multiple companies and doing the jobs I enjoy in each company for the variety, for the exposure to multiple industries, for kind of like diversification, you know, yep. risk management. But you know, it took me until 15 years later where I could even do that. And even then, I'm not really doing it. But then I realize angel investing is kind of like that a little bit, like you're way, way further removed. You're not involved with the running of the company. I'm surprised. Did you think of angel investing at all during this time instead of trying to incubate 6, 7, 8 companies with you being fully involved? Why not just invest in 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 and so on companies and just have a light touch with each of them?
Well, I probably should have, because here's what I'd say. I ended up funding all of my own companies.
Right.
For some of them, we raised some extra seed money, and there's a whole story behind that. But for the most part, the plan was just to fund all my own stuff. Startups.com was a self-funded company. Right. And to this day, almost 30 years running this, I've never written an angel check in my life.
Wow.
My wife and I do not angel invest whatsoever. We even run a fundraising platform called fundable.com. We've helped people raise over $600 million in funding. We talk about funding all day long. We do not invest. And when I say we, because my wife and I make those decisions together, we don't invest because we can't stand the idea of giving someone else our money and hoping they make good decisions. that's absolute torture to me.
Interesting.
I don't mind losing on myself, but my God, handing somebody else my money, as much as I know angel investing is a great thing and I encourage people to do it, just personally, with the way my personality works, it is a horrible idea.
Okay. So a bit of a control freak going there. Hey, Will, it sounds like a little bit. Yeah. Okay. So I'm curious then, and I'd love to talk more about the startup story. But before I do that, you have, like, you're involved with multiple companies. You're going in one meeting, then getting a text about another meeting, good or bad, whatever the case may be. I can see the appeal. Everyone has lots of ideas. You'd love to go after every one of them. But we also all have X amount of time and attention in a day. And I know you've already said this is not the right way to go about this, so you don't advise people to follow in your footsteps. But I'm just curious, how are you even able, from a logistics and energy and attention management standpoint, able to run multiple companies? Because they should have all failed, or one of them or two of them should have been so clearly the winner that you would have been like, what am I doing? I'm going to put my energy into the winner, you know, feed the growing child and let the other ones die. It's a bad analogy, but basically, you know, that's right. The way it tends to work with business. Did that not happen for you? Or
here's what the bet is. Here's how everybody thinks it goes. People analogize it to being at a casino, let's say in blackjack, and making multiple bets and hoping that one of them hits, right? That analogy breaks down in a few areas. First, in order for me to make multiple bets, it takes the same amount of time, right? So in betting, there's not a time element, right? Second, in order for the bets to work, they're not bets per se. In order for a bet to work, it takes 7 to 10 years to make a company great, right? when you're at the blackjack table, it doesn't take 7 to 10 years to place all of those bets, right? I'll give you an example. At the time, this is really what threw me. Right around the time I was doing the incubator, Dharmesh Shah, who's the founder of HubSpot, had been running an online community called On Startups. It actually still runs to this day. It's actually a great online community. And Dharmesh and I would talk about online communities and things like that. And I remember at some point he said, hey, I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to go do something called HubSpot. And I remember thinking at the time, like, I had no idea what his company did. It didn't make any sense to me. Doesn't matter. But I kind of just tracked what they were doing from the sidelines. And then I remember him raising money from Sequoia. And next thing I know, they're filing to go public. And it was at that moment, this is like 7 years later, where I'm like, you know what? Dharmesh started the same time I did, except he focused on one thing. He did that really, really, really well. And he's filing to go public. That's when I knew I had screwed this all up. Because by splitting my focus, I couldn't create more time. So let's say I'm working 16 hours a day, which I was, and you shouldn't do. Let's say I'm working 16 hours a day. The moment I take on a second project, I can't put 16 hours a day into one thing. Again, this is where the betting analogy breaks down. I need every single second of those hours to focus on one thing in hopes to have a hit. The moment I split two ways, three ways, etc., all I'm doing is taking the resources away from what's supposed to be successful to begin with. I'm actually reducing my likelihood of success, which was where I missed completely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're kind of validating that, as we all say, is the truth. As exciting as it can seem, it's really best to focus on one. Yet, today, if I look at startups.com, it doesn't look like one. It does look like multiple, but I'm sure you've evolved a different kind of framework for making that work.
And you bet.
I'm guessing it's not you. If I look at these companies, I'm not going to see Will Schroeder as the CEO of Zirtual and LaunchRock and Fundable and Clarity and so
on.
Right. You know, there's a structure behind it all. So I'd love to talk about how that evolved. But one other question, or maybe can you summarize all these companies that you then realize, okay, you were diverting your time across? One you mentioned was a lease company. Then I know I was just talking about Unsubscribe.
Unsubscribe, yep.
Yeah, which getting rid of annoying junk mail around 2010. Could you just list off not everything, but as many of those companies that you were kind of involved with? And also, is it a case of you just selling them and finding buyers or just closing them down? Like, how do you stop doing all the things that you were doing?
There's two stories there. I'll give you the short version. I'll list them backward if I can even remember at this point.
Sure.
The last one we started was called unsubscribe.com. I had this idea of how to get off junk mail. This was long before the spam button existed on Gmail. And I enlisted the help of a friend of mine, Jamie Siminoff, who went on to start Ring, the doorbell company. So Jamie and I started Unsubscribe together with another partner, Josh Roth, who also is the CTO of Ring. That's the one we raised money overnight and we started to scale the business and realized it wasn't going to be the business we thought it was. And we ended up selling it off, right? So in that case, I think 18 months from inception to sell off, it wasn't a huge exit, but it was enough to get us out of it.
Okay.
Prior to that, I had started a company called affordit.com, which was essentially a firm. So I started in 2007, 2008. Exactly what you think a firm is what affordit was, right? Just too far ahead of its time.
Buy now, pay later for those who are not familiar with a firm. Yeah.
And it was high risk consumer finance at the height of the financial crisis. Not the best time to be raising money.
Timing.
Right. And so that before that was a company called Gotcast that does casting for television online. It was at the dawn of reality television and it was before social networking, a whole thing. I mean, the whole thing there. That's what brought me to Los Angeles. Amazing times. Prior to that, it was a company called bizplan.com, which we still own, which actually became part of the startups.com framework. Boy, I'm probably missing one. Anyway, here's what happened. At first, we're starting it. It's exciting. We can fund our own deals. So there's really no friction to get these things started. I hire a bunch of my friends from my past life. It's awesome. Years go by and I'm stacking on companies. I'm stacking on responsibilities. Now those companies have staffs and responsibilities and payroll to make and all these things. Fast forward to, I want to put the year on it. Call it 2009, 2010. No, 2011. I'm just about to get married. We just had our daughter, now my oldest daughter. Must have been 2012. We just launched what would become startups.com. I just got married. I just had a daughter. I'm at work with my friends at lunch. And I don't know what it was, but I remember talking to them and I'm kind of spacing out a little bit. And I'm like, guys, I don't feel right. And I said, I'm going to drive home. Like, I don't know what's wrong. I didn't think much about it at the time. I hop in my car. I live like 5 minutes away. I'm driving home. I call my wife and I was like, sweetheart, something is wrong. I don't know what's happening. And just as I said that, my heart stopped. Like literally stopped, not figuratively stopped. Like my heart actually stopped while driving on a highway back to my house. Sweet, right? I'm 37 okay. years old.
Well,
I recovered. I somehow didn't go off the highway. Like I'm an idiot, so I just drove home. Like, right? I end up crawling out of my car. I end up laying on the living room floor and I'm staring at the ceiling and I call my friends. I'm like, guys, something's definitely off. You guys have to come get me. I didn't know what happened. They come get me because my friends are idiots. They take me to a minute clinic, which is like, you know, your local doctor to see if you have a cold or something like that. Mm-hmm. I get there, they EKG me and they're like, you need to be like the ICU, like right now, like you're basically having a heart problem, like a serious heart issue. Next thing I know, I'm in an ambulance and this is all within like an hour of me saying, hey, I don't feel right. And I'm in the ICU. I'm in the ICU for 2 days, right? Like staring at the ceiling. I just started a family. I have no idea what's happening. Doctor comes in after all these tests, finally diagnoses me and said, you had a massive anxiety attack. I didn't know I had anxiety.
Wow.
Right? And he said, look, and this is the whole point of what I said, it's not a good idea. He said, you've been running your body as hard as you can for as long as you can. You haven't taken any breaks. You haven't processed stress or any life events, etc. And your body just gave up on you. It just basically said, no more. Hmm. Funny side note to that. After that happened, after you know, that event happened, I started telling my friends, my founder friends, like, guys, you're not going to believe what happened to me. Like, you know, I had this whole event. Every single one of them was like, oh yeah, that happened to me too. I'm like, wait, what? It happened to you too? How did this not come up? And at the time, this is such a funny thing. At the time, it wasn't okay to be transparent and open about these issues. We've come a long way in 10 years, right? I can talk about this stuff openly on your podcast. Wasn't the way before. I'd never heard people talk about it. And that was the culmination of me running my body so hard for so long without reprieve, right? Without any option to reset. And that's when I knew I need to change everything. At that point, I dropped out of everything I was doing and just stopped for like 2 months and did nothing whatsoever just to like get my health on board. It was bad. Wow.
Yeah, I have so many thoughts. I'm thinking about Ryan Levesque. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but his story, similar, ended up in hospital and had to like stop everything. I'm lucky / similar story where I had panic attacks and anxiety in my early 20s. Yes, I was running a business, but because of that, I don't think I ever, like I was always aware of my body's reaction to things. So I never did 16-hour days. I always had a sense of rest, work. Otherwise, I'll go so back to ahead. Having, anxiety and panic attacks. So, but it's such a common story, sadly, but you know, it is great. We can talk about it. So maybe take us forward then. So 2 months of refreshing, you know, you're still contemplating